nice to see you on this sunny summer day. Has summer come? I hope it has. We're all waiting for summer, and I hope summer has come. And it's good to see you this morning. Say hello to someone you haven't met before and give them a high five and say, I'm glad to see you on this sunny day in church. Hallelujah. This morning, for those of you who do not know me, I'm Sam. I'm the pastor of the church, and we're a church that's on the move. How many like that? A church on the move. Hallelujah. Why? Because God is on the move. And God is shaping us and forming us and changing us. Because God has a bigger picture than we have. We have a picture that we can frame, you know, in our living room. But God's picture is big. It's mega big. And it includes not just us. It includes people. It includes multitudes. It includes communities. It includes nations. And so God is with us, and he's showing us the bigger picture. And so we as a church, we are moving in the way that God is showing us that we should move. And so God is moving us to new places, to new premises, to expand the kingdom of God. Because we are here with purpose, and our purpose is to establish the kingdom of God. We are not here because we want to tick a box somewhere saying, I've been to church today, so I'm okay. It's all right. No, we are here to impact our community. That's why our strap line of the church says, we are a people who love Jesus passionately, and we're a people who want to make a difference in our community. That's what we want to do. Because we're not here for ourselves, but we are here for our community, for those around us. So the title for my message this morning is Change the Game. Change the Game. Now, in sports, let's take football. There's a football players here. So let's take football. Yeah. Football teams always change their game and change their tactics, correct? In order to create a win, you got to change your tactics. The game, the football, the rules all remain the same, but the tactics have to change if you are to win in a match, correct? You cannot go with the same old game and win another game. You got to change your thinking, change your attitude, change your practice, change your tactics, your game, and then play that game to win. Because you got to do one better than the team you're playing against. Am I right? How many football players are here? Does it make sense? You cannot stick to the old game and win. You got to think differently and play differently. And even in our own lives, we find that often if we do not change, if we do not think differently, if we do not strategize, our own lives would remain the same. How many know that people have achieved something when they have strategized, thought about it, put an action plan, and they have kept to the action plan, and as a result of it, they have achieved something that they could not have achieved before? And that comes out of strategy. That comes out of thinking through and orchestrating a plan and putting it to action and seeing the result of it. Am I right? How many have done that? If you do the same old thing every day, you won't get anything different. Although you might want something different, you'll never have anything different because you're doing the same thing every day. Is that okay? Am I getting a yes here? Yeah? Okay, good. In church life too, what happens is we get into a rut. What's a rut? A ditch. You know, you see potholes on the roads. What happens when you see a pothole? You avoid it. You try and avoid it. But what collects in a pothole? Stuff, doesn't it? Everything collects in a pothole. A pothole is something that stops the flow of anything, of something. And even if it's a vehicle, a pothole will stop that vehicle from moving forward. And sometimes in our lives, we sort of get into a ditch and we start collecting stuff into a rut and start collecting stuff that really is of no value or no use. And so in order to experience something new, something that flows, we've got to get out of that ditch, get out of that rut, and change what we are doing. And so this morning, I just want to encourage us that if you feel that you are in a rut in a ditch. Don't stay there. Get out of it and do something different. Somebody said, if you never do anything different, you'll never know what's beyond your reach. You got to do something different to see what's beyond your reach. And so as we create space for God in our lives, God will fill it. As we create space in our lives for God, God will fill that space. When you organize something, how many of you have organized things? I'm sure many of you have organized something and done some events and, you know, put up something. The moment you put up something, what happens? People come, correct? If you organize nothing, people won't come. We put on, you know, during the Halloween time. We don't believe in Halloween, but what we do is we provide something that's different. And so we invite all the kids that are going out looking, you know, quite frightful, and we invite them here to have some fun, to have something that's not ghoulish or frightful, but something that's pleasant, something that's great. And so we invite them. We create an atmosphere, a party atmosphere, and people come. Wherever you create a space, wherever you create something, people will come too. If you create nothing, you will not get anything. Am I making sense? People come to an environment that is created, that is formed, that is made. We create an environment. You might wonder, why is all these lights here? And you know, why is it a bit dark? You know, I like a bit of light in here. And when we're creating an atmosphere, it's not because of the lights or the darkness or that sort of thing. We're not dark people. But we just want to create an atmosphere where people, when they come in, they kind of resonate with something that's fair, something that's a little different to the usual kind of church. Because how many know the usual kind of church looks, you know, tall steeples and big concrete pillars and, you know, pews, and, you know, it doesn't look that exciting. But we want to make this place look a bit more exciting because we want to bring in a generation of youngsters as well in here that will come and say, oh, yeah, okay, this is cool. This is all right, you know. I feel at home here. The message is the same. It's not influenced by lights or anything else. But the message is the same. The delivery has changed. The message the same, but the way we deliver it has changed. And so we are creating a space for people to come and for people to enjoy the presence of God. Because God always meets with his people when we create that space. And so that's why we are, as a church, we are making plans to relocate soon. And so I'll be sharing more of that as we go along. So let's look at Scripture for a moment, because Scripture is what we are about. And let's look at the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, and verse 30 to 44. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verses 30 to 44. And this is about Jesus feeding the 5,000. Jesus feeding the 5,000. It says this: the apostles returned to Jesus from their ministry tour and told him all they had done and taught. Then Jesus said, let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while. He said this because there were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his apostles or disciples didn't even have time to eat. That happens even now today, don't we? We get so busy in life that sometimes you don't have time even to eat. We are in a rush. And that happened at the time of Jesus as well. So he tells his disciples, let's go to a quiet place. Let's rest a bit. So they left by boat for a quiet place where they could be alone. But many people recognized them and saw them leaving. And people from many towns ran ahead along the shore and got there ahead of them. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat. He had compassion. Say compassion. He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. Jesus had compassion. See, the Lord that we serve is a Lord of compassion. No matter how busy our Lord might be, no matter how busy things can get in life, even when at this point he was going to rest for a while, when he saw people, he was moved with compassion. And today Jesus is moved with compassion when he sees us, because he loves us, because he cares for us, because he knows that we are people who love him. We are people who wait for him. And we are people that Jesus wants to love. He wants to care for us. Verse 35, late in the afternoon, his disciples came to him and said, This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the nearby farms and villages and buy something to eat. But here's the answer that Jesus gave. I like this. He said, you feed them. Oh, really, Jesus? Are you mad? He said, what? We'd have to work for months in order to earn enough money to feed this crowd of people. Bearing in mind, there were how many? 5,000. That's a big crowd, isn't it? That's a lot of people to feed. And then Jesus asks another question. He says, how much bread do you have? Go and find out. I just like that. Jesus didn't just do a miracle and say, okay, you know, I'll just do it. He wanted the disciples to do something about the people starving, people wanting to eat. He wanted to push their faith out a bit more to say, okay, there's a crowd of people, there's a multitude of people. Yes, I can do a miracle. Yes, I'm God, but I want you to do something about it. And I think God, in many times in our lives as well, wants us to do something that is out of the ordinary for him to do the miraculous in our lives. And so God is always looking for faithful people. When I say faithful people, people who have faith. And every one of us here, we have a measure of faith. There's no one who says, I do not have faith. We all have a measure of faith. My faith is not equivalent to your faith. Neither is your faith equivalent to my faith. I have faith for some things that you may not have faith for the same things, but I have faith for some things. But the faith that you might have, I may not have. Because my faith is based on my relationship with God. Your faith is based on your relationship with the Father. And God meets you where you are. Not where I am, but where you are. Isn't that amazing? That we don't have to be like somebody else. You don't have to be like some, you know, other recognized, you know, holy person, or, you know, pretend to be somebody else. You just can be you. Because God knows you, and he knows exactly what you need. Isn't that good? Isn't that amazing? That we don't have to replicate something in order for God to hear us, because he knows us, he understands us. So Jesus then, what he does is they find someone with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Now that's a lot, isn't it? I mean, come on. It's 5,000 people, 5 loaves and 2 fish, Jesus. This is all we have. And then Jesus tells his disciples in verse 39, says, have the people sit down. And they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. And Jesus takes the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. He looks up to heaven and he blesses the bread and the fish. Then he breaks it and he gives it to his disciples to be given to the people. And he also divided the fish for everyone to share. They all ate as much as they wanted. And afterward, the disciples picked up 12 baskets, leftover bread and fish. The total of people of 5,000 men and their families were fed. There was more than enough. There was more than enough. See, Jesus doesn't meet us at our point of need where he just gives us scraps. No. He always gives us in abundance of what we require. And Jesus here, not only did he provide them with food, but he also gave them so much more that there was so much left behind. Jesus is someone who gives us more than enough. More than enough. And that's why even eternal life, he says, I will give it to you in abundance. In John 10:10, Jesus says this, the thief comes. The thief comes to do three things, steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he does. I always say this from here. I always say, don't get fooled by the devil. He has three things that he does. His job is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Now go follow the devil. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life. See the contrast. That you might have life, not just an ordinary life, but a superabundant life. Hallelujah. You can say hallelujah to that. You can have a superabundant life in Jesus. You can get rid of the stuff of the enemy in your life because he steals, he kills, he destroys. Who wants to go with someone like that? Who wants to associate with someone who steals, kills, and destroys? I don't. And I'm sure you wouldn't want to either. When Jesus poses this question, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. You know, there's a saying that goes like this, where there is a will, there is a way. Where there is a will, there is a way. And Jesus tells his disciples, go and check it out. Go and look for it. And they did find the bread and the fish. There is order with Jesus. He makes them sit in groups of hundreds and fifties. I was reading that, I was thinking, imagine the thought processes, you know, in the disciples' minds. You couldn't even see people on the far end because there's so many people. And Jesus wants to feed all of these people. And he tells the disciples, imagine you as a disciple there. Jesus tells you, go and do something. You feed them. Oh, what? You feed them. Jesus, I believe, I think he was stretching their faith. He wanted to say, okay, how much are you willing to trust me? It's like that the story I mentioned earlier on. Let go. Let go of the branch and trust me. Let go and let God come and do something fresh and something new. And I think God puts us in awkward situations, unbelievable situations to prove that he truly is God. Because if you and I were able to do everything, we would not need God, would we? We won't need God at all. And so God puts us in situations or makes us go through awkward situations so that he can prove that he is God. And I believe God is always looking to see how far are we willing to trust him to bring that dream to pass. You know the story of Joseph in the book of Genesis? If you read the last few chapters, you will see an incredible story of Joseph. And Joseph was a dreamer. He dreamt that the stars were worshiping him. He dreamt that the sheaves of corn were all bowing to him. And when he related that to his family, they were not happy at all. They were not happy. But you know, Joseph held on to his dream. And did it come to pass straight away? No. It took him getting thrown into a pit. It then took him being transferred to a strange land. It then took him getting thrown into prison for something he hadn't done. He was innocent, yet thrown into prison. And then from there, it took him to Pharaoh. And he became the second highest authority figure in the whole of Egypt. Why? Because he had a dream and he kept to his dream. He didn't give it up at any point, even when he was thrown in the pit or when he was in jail. He did not give up his dream. Notice the multiplication and the abundance that came when they went and gave what Jesus had broken to the people. The multiplication and the blessing comes when we take what God has given us and when we give it. If we keep it to ourselves, then we become a rut. We become a pothole. There is no flow in our lives. And rubbish collects. But when we start to give of what God has given to us, whatever that may be, big or small, we all carry the love of Jesus. We all carry something in our lives that we can always share. We can always give somebody else. And the more we give, the more we get filled. The more we give, the more we get filled. Jesus relied on the Father for the miracle to meet the needs of the people. You and I can rely on Jesus to meet our needs when we meet the needs of those that are around us. You and I can rely on the Father to meet our needs when we meet the needs of others. Why would God want to bless us if we are not a blessing? But many times we kind of have this selfish attitude that, God, I just want everything, but I don't want to give out anything. But God's saying, no, I bless you to be a blessing. I bless you to be a blessing. And so the more we become that blessing, the more God blesses us. Can you see that? Am I speaking here? Hello? 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 You're all very quiet. We can rely on the Father to meet our needs. We can rely on our Father to meet the needs of our community. You and I individually may not be able to do that, but through God we can, because He's able. The growth of the miracles come when we take what is in our hands and we ask God to bless it, and then when we give it out. That's when we see the miracle. A situation that seems impossible with human resources is simply an opportunity for God. When everything else fails, that's God's time. Sometimes God has got to bring us to our extremity in order to show His providence. The disciples did all they could. They organized people into groups. And in answer to prayer, God did the impossible. When we get about doing the things of the Father's business, when we get about doing the things that Jesus has called us to do, God will ensure that He will bless us. One of the key scriptures that motivates me is from Matthew 6:33. Matthew 6:33. Write it down if you don't have it. Matthew 6 and verse 33. And it says this, that when we, my mind's gone blank. When we seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness. When you seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness, then everything else will be added. Everything else will be added. Does that mean everything else? It does mean everything else will be added. But the criteria to adding is the seeking God with all our heart, with all our soul, mind, and strength. So here are a few things that we can do to be a game changer. How many want to be a game changer? How many of you are just tired of doing the same old, same old, same old stuff, day in and day out? Life becomes boring, I tell you. If you do the same thing every day, life will become boring. So here are some things that we can do to change our game. The first thing is, you need to draw a bigger circle around you. You need to make your territory bigger, larger. What do I mean by that? Look at Isaiah 54 and verse 2. God says this, clear lots of ground for your tents. Make your tents large, spread out, think big. Use plenty of rope, drive the tent pegs deep. Think big, spread out. Make your circle bigger. If your circle is small, then what you receive would just be a tiny bit. But if you make your circle, your reach, bigger and extend your reach, you will gather more. Can you see that? You got to dream bigger. You got to ask bigger. You got to make time to connect with people. Make your reach bigger. Go out of your way to connect with someone. Go out of your way to reach out to somebody else. Because when in doing so, you make your circle bigger. You make your friends bigger. Many people say, I have no friends. I'm a lonely person. My question back to them is, but have you gone out of your way to actually make friends? Have you gone out of your way to do something to somebody else that they become your friend? And sometimes it takes us to get out of our comfort, get out of our stuff, and make our circle bigger. The disciples were only thinking about themselves. They didn't want to feed the people. They just thought about themselves. Jesus, get rid of them, quick. You know, it's getting late. When your circle is bigger, it does not become all about you anymore. When your circle is bigger, it doesn't become all about you. Here's a question. If everything is all about you, then I would say make your circle bigger. Because you haven't reached out as yet. Because it's all about you. Make it bigger. And here's the second thing. You need to see inconveniences as opportunities. You need to see inconveniences as opportunities. Now we know that whenever something changes, there are challenges, correct? Accepted? But if we look at those challenges and inconveniences, and if we do not do anything and overcome them, we will never know what our reach is. And often in life, we like the easy way out. How many don't like the easy way out? We all like the easy way out. But nobody achieved anything the easy way around. And so in order for us to see and focus and make the possibilities better and bigger, we got to see our inconveniences as opportunities in life. It's a bit like this. I know there are many moms here. How many know that giving birth is not that easy? It's quite painful. Yeah? Agreed? Moms? Okay. Good. I'm with you. I'm not a mom, so I wouldn't know. But I thought I better check first. But the moment that child is pushed out, do you remember your pain? The joy, the little bit. But the joy of seeing a new human being birthed into this world, you forget the pain. You forget all that you went through because of the joy that you see in front of you. The joy of a new human being. It was inconvenient. How many say it's great? But you faced up to it. You didn't give up. You pushed that baby out. It was a challenge. But you pushed that baby out. And sometimes in our lives, we got to push ourselves out. We got to reach further. We got to stretch further. We got to get out of our mindset of being in a pothole. And we got to stretch out and say, right, I'm going to push out of my situation. I'm going to reach out and I'm going to touch something that's new, touch something that's different, touch something that I'm going to be inspired with and blessed with, because I'm fed up of being the way I am. But I need to do something about it. I believe this morning God is taking us as a church to places that are with new pastures, the places that are greener. And it's a challenge. It is indeed, because everything changes. But I think in the change comes that inspiration, that energy, that inertia, that looking forward to something that's going to happen, that's going to break loose and break through, that people will come to know Jesus. Because our aim, what are we here for? It's for people to come to know Jesus. The third one is this. We got to release control. See, control is the enemy of growth. God leads us with promise. Whenever he spoke to Abraham, he gave him a promise. There were no guarantees, but there was a promise to Abraham. With God, it's always this. You go, then I show. How many of you experienced that? Yeah. That's happened to me as well when I came here. God said, you go, then I show. You got to go first. If there is no go, then there is no show. How about that? Did you like that pun? No go, no show. Remember that. Even when it comes to our own lives. Moses, you know, God told him to go to the children of Israel, to Egypt. He's like, no, God, I can't speak. You know, send my brother. But God chose Moses. Did he know the outcome of it? He didn't. But he showed up in Pharaoh's palace. Hallelujah. He showed up. And sometimes God just wants us to show up in places where he can bless us. So long as we keep out of it, God cannot bless it. But when we are in it, God can bless it. And sometimes it takes just positioning ourselves for a miracle. Position ourselves for God to do something bigger and greater. Men of God, we read in the scriptures, they just obeyed God and they did the impossible. Let's get out of our place of comfort, of control, of things that we want to see everything. You know, I want this here. I want to see at this time this happened, this time this happened. And, you know, we kind of have everything controlled so much. But let's become a bit more vulnerable to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Let's say, God, I'm just getting myself out of this controlling stuff that holds me back. I'm going to be a bit more vulnerable to you. The opposite of faith, you know what it is? Certainty. Did you know that, did you? The opposite of faith is certainty. In this move, there are no guarantees, only God's promise to bless. Here's the fourth one. You need to put ministry in the hands of every believer. You and I have a part to play in the kingdom of God. Tell your neighbor that. Say, you know, tell your neighbor, you didn't come to just sit here today and just listen to this man. You came here to be... to be a vehicle, a vessel that God can use. Because God can use us. He has anointed us. What do you mean by anointed? He's ordained us. He's blessed us. He's commissioned us. Tell your neighbor. Did you hear that? He's commissioned you. He's ordained you. It's not only the priest that is ordained. You and I are priests unto God. Did you know that? You are. He's put a call in your life, a gift in your life. He's given you talent and ability from the Holy Spirit. And it is time for us to use those gifts. And where else can we use these gifts except in a place where there is more? It is bigger. It is better. We can use each and every one of us here. So the time's coming, church, that you and I who came here and we sat down for many, many, many Sundays, we're going to get busy. We're going to get doing the things that God called us to do, and that's building the kingdom of God. The fifth one is this. We need faithful people to teach other faithful people. We have to reproduce ourselves through the seed of faith and be able to teach and be teachable. Both. Teach and be teachable. Romans chapter 10 and verse 14 says this. How can they believe in Him if they have never heard about Him? This is talking about Jesus. And how can they hear about Him unless someone tells them? How can the people out there hear about Jesus unless you and I are out there telling them about Jesus? Get involved. Go and tell. And you know something? It's not going to be easy. And let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 1 to 7. And Paul is writing to Timothy, his son in the Lord, and he's telling him this. He's saying, so my son, throw yourself into this work for Christ. Throw yourself. Pass on what you heard from me, the whole congregation saying amen, to reliable leaders who are competent to teach others. When the going gets rough, take it on the chin. I like that. With the rest of us, the way Jesus did. And the going is going to get rough. How many know that? The moment we move, the new challenges come, new things come, and there are going to be rough times. But Paul, writing to Timothy, says, take it on the chin. Don't worry about it too much. Don't get put off by stuff. That's what he's saying. Take it the way Jesus took it. A soldier on duty doesn't get caught up in making deals at the marketplace. He concentrates on carrying out orders. An athlete who refuses to play by the rules will never get anywhere. It's the diligent farmer who gets the produce. Think it over. God will make it plain. Here's my question. Do you want to be a game changer? Do you want to be a game changer? Then throw yourself into the work of Christ and His kingdom, and you will be a game changer. Because the moment you impact the lives of people, you become a game changer. Jesus loves you. He loves you very much. And here's this. Here's what it is. He's got a great plan for our lives. We may not look at Him and think, oh, really? My life ain't going anywhere. But God has a great plan for your life. And only Jesus can go into your dark place and turn it around by lightening it up with His power. All this time we may have stood on our own two feet. We thought we could make life. We could do it. But God is saying, look, without me, you can do nothing. John 15 tells us that. Without me, you cannot do anything. You and I, we need the power of Jesus in us. And He's willing because He's compassionate. He's concerned for you. He's a God who can take care of you. He can take care of your family. He can take care of your circumstances. He can take care of your job. Because He's a God who can take care of you. He can take your brokenness and make you a whole person. Only Jesus can take you from your darkness and bring you to His light. He can take your sin and bring eternal life into you, to you. He can surround you with His love. He can surround you with His power. Why? Because Jesus died for you. Nobody else in the history of mankind died for the sin of the world. Nobody else. No other guru, no other deity, nobody died for the sin of the whole world. Only Jesus died. That's why he was able to say, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man can come to the Father except through me. Many people say there are many ways, but Jesus said, I am the way. Why? Because only He died on that cross, shed His blood for you and for me. That was it. One time that you and I today have the privilege of coming like this, and all we have to do is say, Jesus, forgive me for the stuff that I've been doing, all the stuff that's gone on in my life. I've been selfish in the way that I've lived. I've been selfish in the way that I've thought. God, forgive me. I'm a sinner. I need your forgiveness. And you know what? When Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, He paid the penalty, He paid the price for your sin and for my sin. I can stand here today because Jesus has forgiven me. I can stand without any condemnation. The enemy always wants to condemn you and says, you are bad, you amount to nothing, you are useless, look at you. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and more abundant life. Jesus says, He looks at you and He says, you are worthy, you are worth to me. I place value on your life. And if there's someone here who's feeling worthless right now, Jesus is telling you right now, I value you because I died for you. I shed my blood for you. And today, you can put your trust in Jesus. The question is, will you trust Jesus? It's a bit like letting go of that branch and putting your hands and your life in the hands of Jesus. There's a scripture in Psalm 34. It says, taste and see that the Lord is good. If you don't taste Him, you'll never see that He is good. If I gave you a fruit here and I said, this is an apple, and I gave it to your hands, and I said, how does it taste? I don't know. But the moment you take a bite off that apple, it's like, yeah, this is Cox's apple or Braeburn or whatever else there is, you will know straight away. Why? Because you've tasted. My encouragement to you is, why not taste and see that God is good? Why not taste Him and see? Give it a go. God's not, you know, He's not saying, oh, you know, don't just try to do that with me. You know, you've got to do this and this and this. You know, then I will meet you. He says, no, God meets you where you are at. And all you do is, God, I want to taste you. I want to put you to the test. Really? Can I do that? Yeah, you can. You can put God to the test and say, God, if you're really there, if you're really real, then do something in my life. And then you will know if God is for real or not. That's a bold statement to make, but that's how I know Jesus. Because He will never disappoint us. He will never disappoint us. So, let's all stand to our feet. And this morning you may be in this place. Things might be new. You may not have done church like this. So you might be wondering, this is all great. You know, it's all not so great. But whatever situation you're in, it really doesn't matter because God still loves you. And you're here because God ordained for you to be here today. And that's for a reason, that you can connect with Him. Not with the church, but connect with Jesus. And this morning, I'm just going to give you an opportunity that if you want to connect with Jesus, then you can ask Jesus yourself. You don't have to go to a priest to confess anything. You can ask Jesus while right where you are. You can say, Jesus, and if you want to pray with me this prayer today, if you are here and you really want to know and trust Jesus, you can pray this prayer with me. You can say, Jesus, I put my trust in you. I've done life my way. But now I want to go your way. Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me for all the sin in my life. Touch my life. Make me new. I want to be your child. Thank you for your love, Jesus. I receive you into my life. Be my Lord and be my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer in your heart, I just want you to know that God has heard your prayer. God's desire is that we will really do well. That's God's desire. That's God's heart. He doesn't want us, you know, to I know people say there's a lot of suffering in the world, but that's not because of God. It's because of our selfish natures. We created the mess ourselves. But God wants to take the mess away and bring some order into our lives. And this morning, if you've given your heart to Jesus and you want a Bible, we'll give you a Bible so you can read the scriptures. You can understand more of what you're reading. And if you want to come and talk to me or talk to some of our leaders here, you can do that as well. Nobody's forcing you or compelling you or embarrassing you. It's your decision, but we are always here for you. We're always here to help you. We're always here for whatever it takes to make sure that you walk with Jesus. That's our desire. That's my desire. So feel free to come and talk to any one of us. There's Bob here, there's myself, there's Simon, there's Ildefons, there's Alf, there's Sue. You know, my wife Jenny is here as well. You can talk to any one of us. And we will pray with you. Father, thank you this morning that you are so amazing. Thank you, Jesus, that you made it so easy for us because you died on the cross for us. We thank you, Jesus, that all you want is our yes. And God, today we have said yes to you. God, I pray your blessing on your people this morning. I pray, oh God, that as they journey with you, that you will strengthen them. I come against every attack of the enemy, everything that is satanic and demonic. In the name of Jesus, we bind everything of the enemy over your lives in Jesus' name. That God will release you out of your situation and bring you to pastures that are green and waters that are still. Father, I thank you for that right now, and I pray in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. I am there.